I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, welcome, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. It is, excuse me, frog in my throat, Wednesday, April the 8th, 2015, just a couple days before the Free Your Mind Conference. This will be my last night on the radio, and, for a week anyway. I'll be back next Thursday. I got Deanna Spingola filling in for a couple days here to finish out this week, and then Larkin, Texas, just agreed to take care of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So that's a good thing. So at least we'll have some entertainment. but anyway, I'm excited. I've got my little PowerPoint presentation going. I'm going to be talking about one of the subjects that nobody wants to talk about. I'll tell you, I'm not going to be there to make friends. Everybody's going to be mad at me a bit because I'm going to talk about things that other people are promoting. I'm going to dismiss them, going to show them not to be true, and that's probably going to make some people mad. One of those things is going to be about truth. The truth is a lie. I know that's hard to swallow sometimes. The other thing is about volunteerism and what voluntary actually means. You see, it doesn't mean what you think it means. It only really matters what they define it to mean. And therefore, if you're volunteering, well, you better know what that means before you say you want to live in a damn voluntary society. Because you already do. Let me read you a few quotes. It's just fun. Just fun stuff. Just a couple quotes that I'm going to read at the conference, actually. Because it just gives you an idea of the notion of what volunteerism is. The United States, according to Justice Hugo Black, United States versus Carriger in 345 U.S. 22, 1953, the United States has a system of taxation by confession. I find that to be a fantastically honest statement. The United States has a system of taxation by confession. Why are you taxed? Because you confess that you're a taxpayer? You volunteer it? Our system of taxation, according to the U.S. Supreme Court in Flora versus United States, 362 U.S. 145, page 176, our system of taxation is based upon voluntary assessment and payment, not upon distraint. Voluntary assessment and payment, not upon distraint. All right. Well, remember what the word district means? I don't know if you guys remember, but that actually means distraint. If you live in a district, it means you live in a state of distress or distraint. That's what the word district means. You go to district court, guess what? It's a court of distraint. It's a court of distress. You're seized already. You're guilty before you even step through the door. Not upon distraint. That's interesting because the next quote sort of, it doesn't really jive with that. And it's interesting. Again, this word voluntary is so interesting. I love it. I'm going to read this because it's one of my favorite quotes. The U.S. tax system, which the IRS oversees and administers, is based on the principle of voluntary compliance. This is from West's Encyclopedia of American Law, Edition 2, 2008, from the Gale Group. According to the IRS, this means, in other words, Voluntary compliance means, according to the IRS, that taxpayers are expected. Now let's make sure we understand that taxpayers, those who have confessed to being voluntarily being taxpayers, according to the IRS, taxpayers are expected to comply with the law without being compelled to do so by action of a federal agent. You, my little slaves, should be complying with the slave law without a distraint. You should not have to be told to pay your taxes, even though they're not really owed. But it goes on, it says it does not mean, so the IRS says what voluntary does not mean, voluntary compliance, that is. It does not mean that the taxpayer, again, a legal term, a name, a fiction, a title that you've confessed to, it does not mean that the taxpayer is free to decide whether or not to comply with the law. Voluntarism does not mean that the taxpayer is free to decide whether or not to comply with the law. Right. Now we're starting to get somewhere. All right. So volunteerism is a confession. It's a confession saying, I am a taxpayer, and therefore I will comply with the law. That's the voluntary part. Now, what is not voluntary is for you to say, I'm a taxpayer, here's my return, but I'm not going to, or here's, I don't fill out a return this time, but I'm not going to comply with the law. Okay, so really what we're talking about is an employee trying to get out of his duties as an employee. That's all. Yes, I'm employed by you, but I'm not going to follow your rules or your orders. I'm getting a benefit from you, but I'm not going to return that benefit with any obligations. Now, we know the tax law is really screwed up. We know there's some serious, serious problems there. But we should never confuse the meanings that we believe are attached to words with the meanings that are attached to the legal words that we are under. We should always know the definitions of the words that we are contractually obligated to be under. Now, I can't stress this enough, because I spent so many years, trying to force my beliefs on others, trying to say, well, no, law should be this, law should be that. But guess what? Law is not that. It just doesn't work that way. Yes, there's idealism, there's maxims, there's principles, and guess what? All of those actually, honestly, they help establish corruption. That's really what the maxims are. They're there to protect those who are not ignorant of the maxims. They tell you that there is no fraud when you are a fraud. They tell you you can't declare fraud when you're participating in the fraud. You cannot do this. I must stress this enough, that your definitions, my definitions, God's definitions, no one's definitions matter when it comes to a closed-loop matrix code that is created as the legal law. Nothing that I believe has any place in a court of quote-unquote United States law. Nothing. There is nothing I can say that will that will make me anything else than a volunteer appearing in a name that does not belong to me as an entity, a corporation, that is not mine. There is nothing that's going to prevent me. Anyway, it is Wednesday. I wasn't sure if Daniel was going to join us today, but it looks like we got him, so welcome, Daniel.
Sorry about that. I had a little bit of an inconvenience happen, so I'm sorry for the delay there.
All right.
Where are we going tonight with the show?
Well, I wanted to ask you because, Dean Clifford got out of jail, and he's up there in Canada, and you've certainly commented on Dean Clifford before, and not necessarily in a very positive way. And I don't want to insult, I don't want to talk about the man, you know, the guy as if he's well, we won't label him at all. But I did want to talk about Dean Clifford tonight because again, he spent the last 14 months, I believe, in jail. Before that, he was in jail, oh, four or five times for varying different types of you know, legal citations and et cetera, guns, et cetera. And everybody keeps emailing me and saying, "Oh, Dean Clifford is free."
Okay. My comment on this is, okay, I've never met Dean, and I don't think him and I really probably have any problem because I know people that do know him and have spoken with him. But he's one of the actually few guys that were noted, at least on this side of the border, that I haven't met. And I don't think technically he really probably has had, you know, as far as I know, any negative regarding anything that I've said. I think certainly when I'm talking about the movement that it's been associated with, I say that if the guys don't know the law and then they're out there diving out there talking about it, what happens is they're going to get targeted, because if you don't know the rules of the game and then you're playing in the game and you don't understand the legal surname game, which I've been trying to explain to people so often, the name doesn't belong to them, it's not theirs, and you're using it under license, and therefore the rules apply, and it doesn't matter if your crown or your leaders or your authorities, you know, are basically passing their debt or their eminent domain over to be looked after by third-party bank collectors. It's just the way the game is played, so you have to understand the rule. So I think what's happened is a number of guys got beaten up in the process of trying to figure out the law as they go. And it's a really tough one, and it's not fun. And I've only been incarcerated once for failing to identify. And no, they didn't like when I said, "Where are you from?" When they asked me where I was from, and I said, "Earth," it didn't go over well. So I tell people that's not a good response. Don't tell the police officer "Earth," because they're going to get really upset and think that you're messing around with them and failing to comply with their interrogation.
Well, so, that's about as effective as. It's about as effective as telling a judge you're a living man.
Yeah, it just doesn't work because they only see procedure and what they've been taught. And so now I've learned a little bit more empathy, though I don't agree with anybody abusing another individual, even within, you know, compliance of being in a system or being a participant. I don't think that they have the right to go around smacking people around just because they have the authority with a bat and a gun. But I think at the same time, I understand that I don't want to be any more part of that system either. So I think what I've learned on the journey, I think what you've learned on the journey is you better know who you are, you better know where you're going, and you have to understand that if you're involved in something you don't agree with, then what is your alternative and what can you do? And I think people are lost with those on those questions. They're busy trying to, unfortunately, go against the system, not complying, and thinking they're going to write their own rules, but the rules will always come at them, and that's what shows why someone could be incarcerated for 16 or 18 months. I feel bad. It's not a great place to be, and I'm sure that he wasn't having a good day in there, and I still have empathy for the guy, and I still believe that he believes in what he's doing. I believe that the guy's sincere. Because I don't think anybody would deliberately want to do that to themselves, be incarcerated by a system for 16 to 18 months. It's not a good stayover. I believe that those cells are meant to make you feel like a caged animal. And it usually does not bring about happiness and glee and smiling faces.
Well,
and
so
I know someone is not free when they're on bail. That means they've just agreed to come back.
Well, you're not free as a citizen, except unless you're talking about the legal franchise.
I really, at this stage, don't know what to say as far as beyond. That's all I'm aware of, that this man acting under the person, Dean Clifford, has basically had a very, I think, treacherous experience.
Well, so
the law.
The question becomes, you know, and this is actually a very difficult question for people to, including myself, to really be able to comprehend. The question is, who or what is actually in jail? What is being confined? What is incarcerated? What is it that is happening in there? So we talk about surety, right? We talk about bond. Mm-hmm. We talk about appearing as something we are not, which is this what they call the natural person, which is just the status assigned to the man. So what is it that is actually confined? What is it that has been put into a basically a holding tank? You know, what is it? Is it Dean Clifford? Is it a man who is sort of somehow invisibly chained to Dean Clifford? So wherever Dean Clifford goes, the man must follow. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to understand. But what I do understand is that you can't go to jail unless you're volunteering to be Dean Clifford.
It's 100% the case. What's happening is while they take you in and they hold you in that cell, you're actually the security and the surety for them drawing on the bond. In fact, there are many people that have no monetary value technically out in the workforce, and they're sitting incarcerated somehow in jail, and people believe that it's only the taxpayers' dollars that are incarcerating them and paying for them in there. But I tend to think more likely the actual system is able itself to draw on a security, a counter security, while you're in there. So they actually, some people are actually more valuable in jail than they are free, walking on the outside, because they're actually technically, as I made the joke before on other shows, that you're not really out on, you're out on payroll or parole. You're actually been released, and everybody has been charged with intrusion or basically a violation upon the public domain. You're a trespasser on the public. And therefore, this bond has been issued, this judgment, and as long as you keep on acting, holding on to anything public while you're using your private given name, you become the public entity, and you become the surety for it.
Now, Daniel,
so they make an increasingly crazy, you know, monetary, financial schematic on this, and it's operating worldwide, and the majority of people don't even know it exists.
Well, I always like to bring this up every once in a while.
It's hard when we're going down these journeys to explain to people when they've gone through a trauma like that. As I said, I don't think that our aim here is to do a Dean Clifford ditching. I think just what happens, I just feel that they're missing certain points and certain understandings on how the law operates, and they're kind of banging their head into a wall, or like trying to put a square block in a round hole. It just won't work. Because
I like
not understanding it.
I like to, you know, I was listening to, someone sent me the interview, so I decided I listened to probably the first 20 minutes, I had to turn it off. But, you know, I was listening, and he was saying that they were actually telling him while he was in jail that the Attorney General of Canada, who runs the entire jail system, was telling him how they should treat him, and that it was just a whole, you know, that he was there as a political prisoner. He's never been charged with anything, although he has 20-something charges against him. Most of them have been dropped. And it's just a whole mess of a story. So he's claiming to be a political prisoner, basically, which I don't know what to think of that. I do know that he was charging people money to do what you were doing there for a while, which was to try to teach people stuff, and I don't know. But what I would
That's
like
where to the danger factor happens too, because if you're preaching something against the system itself, in other words, if I say don't pay tax, okay, well, I don't believe in that, okay, I just say if I'm in something that's involved in using property that doesn't belong to me, that's where the tax comes in. And so I would never preach that type of message, so to speak, or I would not give that message out to say, no, you don't have to pay tax, tax is illegal, in the sense, and I know there's some people that really truly believe that the tax system is completely, you don't have to pay it, but I just find that if they really look at the schematic, there's something that's being taxed that they're using, and that's what you get taxed for. You get taxed for the use of something.
It's like saying the Boy Scouts don't have to wear their merit badges, right? I mean, it's like it's like an integral part of the whole system, and you're saying it's somehow illegal. Well, if the whole system is the legal system and it makes the legal law, how do you expect anything it does to be illegal? It's an impossibility. Now, you could say, if you want, you could try to pass your opinion that says it's unlawful, but you see, you're not the one that defines what law is. And this has to be understood. It has to.
Yeah, I mean, and I always ask people anyways, when they're running through these dilemmas trying to tear apart that system, then what is their solution to run all that chaos out there anyways? Because I always look at it, would they prefer that there are no police out there? And I look at it more than not from my aspect on the moral level of basically not being a participant in there, like literally stating that my position is spiritual, not secular. And therefore, there has to be remedy within that because...
Well, I'll tell you what, Daniel. You know, I'm in Utah. We're in part of what's called the cowboy states, really. The sort of very, very loose gun control. Virtually none at all. I mean, there certainly is. But, I mean, for the most part, you do not know who is carrying a gun around here. You do not know... what you're going to get into if you start to commit a crime against somebody. And that's why we have very little crime in these particular states. And I'm very, very comfortable being out amongst a people I don't know that I'm pretty sure half of them are probably packing. I got to be honest with you, I'm very comfortable with it because it makes me feel a lot more safe than what the police have become. And I got to be honest. I wish the people carrying guns were a little more watchful of the police and actually guarding the police to make sure they do their job. But nobody seems to be wanting to do that. Instead of they just stand around and watch as the police kill somebody or beat someone silly. So that kind of bothers me. But I got to be honest. I want to live in a society where everyone is armed. I mean, that is how I feel because I've lived in it now, and I understand that just the notion that someone might be armed and they have every right to be armed is what deters crime.
Well, put it this way: the situation that you're talking about there, I would have to have understanding. I'm not here to disagree that the truth that you're saying there does seem to come out of that if the whole population's packing a piece, who's going to be dumb enough to shoot anybody or basically pull as much of that stuff of abuse. But my only concern is the fact is that just my position itself, I don't want to even be in amongst that, but at the same time, I understand that there'd have to be a respect for the fact that the guy who's not packing the piece and doesn't want and wants to walk in peace and is not there as a threat. He's not trying to claim wealth or monetary power, or control over other people. And then therefore he would have at least the option to be a non-participant, but I know that if civil unrest breaks out, I'm going to tell you, I know that the U.S. is going to be a complete war zone because there are so many people there that have weapons and arms. Canada's a joke because Canada's got very few of its citizens actually have firearms. So we've got a very, very low rate of people, well, at least in the obvious population with it, that actually claim to own or bear firearms. So we have a very, very small, most of them are hunters or outdoorsmen because it's so restrictive here. So the majority don't have it, and if they do have it, then they're generally hiding it, and they're kind of like playing, I'm going to take my chances, not telling anybody I've got one. But the laws are way more restrictive up here, so there's fewer people with guns, I believe, from my research up in this neck of the woods. So if there was civil unrest here, there'd only be a few guys armed to do anything. The majority of the population would just you know, literally bow over, bow down to whatever would be called upon them by enforcement. So it would be very easy to do a military lockdown of Canada.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? Did you ever wonder why we had to run for shelter when the promise of a brave new world unfurled beneath the clear blue sky?
Look, Mummy, there's no place.
Chaos theory, hurricane control, advanced clouds, massive ionospheric heaters, storm-absorbing supergel, nanoscale weather.
Well, that was a new one, Daniel. This time I got kicked off. Sounds like RPN got kicked off. Your disease is spreading. Apparently, you're whipping off on us.
Well, you know what? It's a weird thing. We're kind of getting maybe closer to some realities, and at times, I don't really think it's our. I told you, I have no problem on this phone. 99.99% of the time, I've taken calls from all over the states because people from your show have called me, where I would get emails and they really wanted to speak to me directly. And, you know, I at times know that it's far easier just to talk to them. So I've never lost any calls. But weirdly, when we're on the air, it always seems to have those delays.
Yeah, go figure. I don't know. Hey, I was going to say before the strangeness there, I was going to recommend again to people just because, you know, it's what do you say? I mean, I like to tell people every once in a while just to remember the reality of all this stuff. I like to tell people to go to unicor.gov. Are you familiar with Unicor, Daniel? Unicor is what is known as the the Federal Prison Industries. Federal Prison Industries. And quite an industry it is. When you go to the website, you see our story and home. It's been around 80 years, created by Congress, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It was Congress or it was an executive order. And it's a federal corporation, and of course it is, you know, who employs all the prisoners that are in jail. Now, of course, why put people in jail if you're not going to exploit them in one way or the other? Now, if you're just sitting there, you're going to be exploited just by the fact that you're there. And if you're, you know, you can be made into an employee if you want, where you get 60 cents an hour and you work slave wages and do slave labor while you're in jail. I mean, why not? Might as well make a buck on it. Most disturbing about it is that for a few years now, Unicor, and you know, let me just tell you, let me just read their products and services, first of all. Schedule of products, apparel and accessories, awards and commemorative items, contact center solutions. In other words, you might be calling a prisoner for some customer service, data services, distribution and warehousing logistics, electronics and components, electronics recycling, energy efficient and green products, facilities and warehouse storage solutions for food service products, interior and exterior signage, mattresses, linens, and draperies, office furniture and accessories, prescription and safety eyewear, printing and bindery service, bindery, that's kind of funny, training site solutions, license plates, oh, that's right, they make license plates, oh yeah. What's that last one? Oh, vehicle uplift, remanufacturing and fleet services. So those are some of the basic services that Unicor offers. Now, when you look at the website, and that's Unicor, UNICOR.gov, you see these little flashing things, and it's got smiling faces and smiling families. It says, oh, second chances in the lives we touch. It's got a nice little, foreign woman. I guess she's Korean. With a headset on her face, in a cubicle, smiling like a little sweatshop worker, and she's in front of a computer, and she's got a headset with a microphone in front of her head, kind of like I have right now, and she's answering a phone call by someone who probably has no idea that they're talking to a prisoner in service of whatever account or thing they're calling for. It's pretty disgusting, and most disturbing about this is that they have their own trademark. We know of Made in the USA. We know of that, but we don't know the American Made. That's American Made label. American manufacturing, it says. Integrity at its best. That's right. Prison labor is integrity at its best. Made in America because it's made in prison labor camps. Reshoring. Investing in America, it says, with modern factories nationwide, a proven history and a diverse range of production capabilities and expertise, we represent American manufacturing you can count on to proudly support the Made in USA label. Now, folks, I don't know about you. Like I said, I like to bring this up every once in a while just to remind people of reality. Tangible results. Our American-made label means we comply with U.S. best practices, environmental mandates, industrial performance standards, OSHA requirements, and the most rigorous military specifications as required. Domestic manufacturing provides other benefits as well, including the agility to mobilize and collaborate with long transoceanic flights. time zone differences, as well as cultural and communication challenges. Bringing jobs home, investing in America, that is the damn slogan for the prison industries, the thing that puts prisoners to work. Now, folks, do you think for a second that this is a good thing? I mean, because you will be told that this is a great thing, that otherwise these guys would just be, you know, just wasting away in prison. Problem is, they don't put murderers and necessarily rapists in the workforce. They need people like you and me. And they need people like you and me to never say anything about this. Because we get our wood floors. Our wood flooring is made by prisoners. All things are made by prisoners. See, they need us not to complain. They need us to cooperate. They need us not to say anything about the fact that the Made in America label might very well be from prison labor. And again, they don't put violent criminals in the labor workforce. No, this is for tax cheats. This is for people who don't know what volunteerism is. That's what it's for. So you want to know why people like Dean Clifford are put in prison? You want to know why the prisons are so full that we have to go to private prisons to house them all? That we have to make contracts assuring that the prisons will stay full 90%? That's what governors do, you know, with private prison industries. They sign contracts ensuring that they will fill the private prisons. Did you know that? Did you know that the reason prisons are overfilled is because...
Well, it's not surprising to me.
Yeah, it's not. It's not at all. What's surprising is that this has been happening for 80 years. 80 years. It's not under the radar. It's not unknown. It's right there in your face, a literal slave racket run by government, but made in America. Now, I don't know what to tell you, folks, because they think this is integrity. They think they're doing us a favor, apparently. I don't know. What do you think, Daniel? Daniel, do you have it?
Yeah, I'm here.
you and your connection problems.
So what was the last question?
What do you think? I mean,
it's 100%. What you're saying is completely. It's actually I kind of see it too as a version that when you're out, what appears to be not in those jails, you're really on another life work program, paying off a debt you can never pay off. Because most people are struggling if they do not work for money, they don't have that lifeblood of money in their circulation of their artificial body, they will die. They will starve to death. They won't have a place to basically shelter themselves. They won't be able to afford food because many people have been basically trained to not live in an area where they can grow their own food or do all the other things. And in fact, even if they want the land they want to be on, they have to be so far remotely north that no one would want the land, that no one would bother them in those areas. But to live in an area where you actually see other people, that land's so expensive, you can't afford it. You can barely afford a small little cubicle apartment.
Well, I always wonder, how did these people get the land in the first place, right? I mean, you have these developers coming in, massive, massive squares of land, and you go and you look, and here's a piece of land that's for sale for $500,000. And you're like, well, how did you actually get the land? Because, I mean, at some point, someone had to claim the land as theirs without paying anything. I mean, at some point, the land had to be free. So at what, I mean, who is it that actually first paid a fee to have the land, and who did they pay it to? Because was it beads to the Indians? What was it? I mean, because how do people justify claiming that the land is theirs, a corporation especially, and saying you owe us this much money? I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It is. It's an amazing schematic. I mean, because people. to an extent, are all in this schematic, this monopoly board. And we certainly know that there is a portion of the population that's not very happy about it. They don't know what to do. They're frustrated. They're barely surviving. And you kind of wonder, how did we all get into this mess? Well, I'm going to tell you how we got into this mess. We appointed physical kings and rulers over ourselves, and we forgot who our spiritual maker was. So, unfortunately, man's been on a very bad dilemma ever since.
I guess.
That's all I could say. It is, I guess, the ancients looked up to the sky and knew that there was something bigger and powerful over them that had placed, this amazing, planet where it used to be, at least, before we started to crap on it and destroy everything that we've been given as a gift. But when you start appointing people, here's the problem that happens with that. You're actually placing your confidence and trust in someone to give them power, and power can be a very dangerous thing. And therefore, the abuse of power has been going on for thousands of years, and people literally have been, I'd say the majority of people have been so far down the time slot on this that they don't even see it anymore. They just believe that's just the way things are. But we've actually placed our confidence and our trust, and we've given authority. We've disposed of of who we are into these people. And yes, they've done some very bad things, and they actually believe that, well, you consented to be part of this, so why are you upset with us for controlling you? You told us that you didn't want to look after yourselves, you're incompetent, and you want a king to rule over you. Well, there you go. So back to the book of Samuel, which we've discussed before. And he said what would happen to them once you give them that type of authority. They will literally take your land, and they will take your everything you have. And they've 100% have experienced what the Book of Samuel said would happen once you do this. So we're kind of unfortunately now dealing with the aftermath of bad decisions of our forefathers.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we're reaping, unfortunately, what we've sown, and we've sown power into these power mongers, and they basically are running a system that now they even say, well, voluntarily you consented to use something that's artificial, so it belongs to us. It's make believe. We've patented it. We've got a system that says it belongs to us, and if you touch it, well, you got to be part of us. We own you then. You're not a subject of grace. You're a subject of debt. So yeah, it's a sad system, the majority, unfortunately, out there right now, if they do not see it, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, I'll tell you, again, I'm reading this. I just downloaded the CAFR. For Federal Prison Industries. I might have to write up on this one because, it's an annual management report to Congress of the United States, 2014. Here's what it says, Daniel, and this is so important. It says FPI, Federal Prison Industries, was established by statute and executive order 6917 in 1934, signed by President Roosevelt, to provide opportunities for educational and work-related experiences to federal offenders. FBI celebrates its 80th anniversary last year. Although a great deal of time has passed and technology is changing rapidly, FBI's mission throughout these years remains the same: to protect society and reduce crime by preparing inmates for successful re-entry through job training. Now, you tell me, Daniel, does that not sound like re-education?
Yes.
Am I mistaken?
100%. Yeah, it's, that's a really crazy word, a rehabilitation.
Well, you're talking about...
already corrupted society.
Right, aren't we talking about just different levels of hell?
Yeah, that's all.
I mean, you're going into a worse hell than being a free man... You're going into an incarcerated man. I mean,
well, I love that. I love the fact that we've had so much time to talk about this, because it when we go over that thing on the surname, and we know it means in the law a debt or a debtor. What's interesting about that, when there's a free man movement that uses their last names and they say they're free, I think that's a little bit funny.
It is.
I mean, it's so pathetically funny, and they don't realize that the guys that put them in prison are going, these guys don't even know they're bearing a debtor name.
Well, see, what it is...
saying, don't worry, you don't have to pay your debt with the debtor name.
What it is that the, literally, Daniel, and I find this to be one of the most the most wonderful cosmic jokes I've ever been privy to. What we don't realize is that we are free. The problem is not that we aren't free. The problem is that we are free. Just like our problem is that we are U.S. citizens, right? We are free because free, again, is not our word. It's their word.
Yep.
Free is something, a free government? Free mind control? Really? I mean, a free people? But a people are subjects to law and not God's law. So we are free. And that is the problem, because we say it as if it's a good thing. Like a rat in a cage would say he's free in the cage, right? I mean, it's amazing when you actually get down to it. Now, here's another thing, right? As a federal government corporation, Federal Prison Industries is a program that also functions as a business to remain self-sustaining. And that continues to face a dynamic set of external and internal constraints due to reduced purchasing from FBI by the government sector. Emphasis has been placed on exploring more opportunities for business. I mean, this is a prison. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Wake up and look around you. We're lost in space and the earth is your home.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about how wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away. And I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
Like, I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, Asha, hold control.
you go to unicorn.gov and you get their CAFR for 2015, you can read this. Now, this, I don't know what to say. I mean, the way they present this stuff in accounting terms is just hilarious to me. New market authorities. So we have a new emphasis with the prison labor placed on exploring more opportunities with commercial customers. Commercial customers. New market authorities contained in the Consolidated and Further Continuing Appropriations Act of 2012, which is Congress, now enable the federal prison industries to obtain commercial customers through manufacturing repatriation. You know what that is, folks? Manufacturing repatriation and bringing sales otherwise sent to foreign countries back into the United States. So if it makes you feel any better, folks, some of the work that we've outsourced to different countries, China, India, is being brought back to America. It's now made in America, in prison. I don't know what to tell you, but I guess now instead of being patriotic, Daniel, we have to be repatriotic. We have to be repatriotic, right? I don't know. I'm just flabbergasted.
It's not a pretty picture. All this. You know, when you really look at the, I think when you look in at what people think is a great thing or how things are operating, they'd have to have rose-colored glasses on to not see the real picture, because it would not make any sense. And unfortunately, my dad, you know, would say that because he used to perform as a pastor marriage ceremonies, and he would tell the guys, well, he says, take a look at her. He says, because what you see right now, she's all prettied up for this wedding. He says, but you're going to be waking up next to her the next morning without the makeup on, without the pretty dress. The reality hits, and are you prepared for that reality? And I think what's happened is people are really in a bad non-reality. They can't see it because they're in fear to look at it for what it is. And then to know that they may have to change their view and start seeing things for what they are, and they may require to make changes, of course. And the change is a big fear. Fear is, based on people are reluctant to actually make a change in their lives, so they get in fear to go to that next level. And I've seen it, and that's really where the blockade comes on this, when you're even teaching or you're just trying to help people to see through due diligence what the research really shows. And unfortunately, they close their ears up and they'll go, la, 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 I don't want to hear it, but they don't want to hear the law, right?
No.
I realized that's what people were doing when they would do that to me. They'd put their hands over their ears and do that, la, 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 I don't want to hear any of this. And I realized it was because they didn't want to hear the law.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear what they're really being governed by. And then they'd tell me, no, but it has to be fixed by doing this. I don't know any other way. So I've got to go out and get a $200,000 mortgage because I have no choice. And I'm going, you realize that means dead pledge. So you got to be pledging something that's dead.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, what it really boils down to is that everybody wants to be the lawmaker. Everybody wants to kind of make their own law. Everybody wants to believe what the law should mean and basically ignore what it actually means. That is why there's so much cognitive dissonance. So, anyway, we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. Hopefully we'll stay connected this time. Be back.
With financial uncertainty.